Hello everyone and welcome to episode 23 of season 11 of Movie Around Midnight, the daily podcast where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off his stint is Josh Horowitz of 5 minutes of Banzai and 5 minutes of Trouble. You're always causing trouble by jumping in too quick.
All about timing, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Glad to be here.
No problem with timing. It's, you know, you have to count the seconds after a grenade is thrown, so it makes sense. Yeah.
Eins, zwei, oh no.
Exactly. So episode 23 begins with Winters continuing to give nonverbal orders and ends with Popeye being warned. So we ended things yesterday with the men starting their getting ready for their assault on this on the German 88s, and
right,
you know, we had Winters cramped into that little German car, the rusty German car.
It might be a French one. Who knows how long it's been?
Ah, that's true. It's French. That's a good point. That's a good point. They start giving a bunch of hand signals to which direction you're supposed to go, where each one's supposed to go. And then we, Buck goes, there's three cannons. And we hear the cannons firing. And Petty, we've got escalating fire. Right. Let's go. Stay down. Start getting a little closer to where these 88s are. And they're trying to figure out what it is that they're going to do in order to try and stop them. And we see them crawling through the brush just to be able to try and get there. And, you know, we see someone setting up a tripod, which is going to be used to start shooting. And at this point, Winters shows up and he tells them, all right, MG-42s. He goes, I'll draw their fire to the right from the truck. Take two men and hit them from the left. Buck goes, okay. Go right. And Winters says, take Rainey. Envelope right. Give covering fire. Lorraine on the machine gun. Don't give away your position until you have to. And I want that TNT as soon as you see we've captured the first gun. Go. Yes, sir. And we, you know,
the interesting thing about this whole scene is that, and I commented about this thing earlier, you know, the muted colors that they use throughout. It seemed even more so here during this assault. It very much reminded me of those black and white films or even newsreels that they did from this period. You know, it just sort of really sets you up for this era, this World War II time, which many people associate with, you know, sort of black and white, not so much in color.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that obviously makes a lot of sense for them to be... because I think it's because they don't want to... sensationalize it too much.
Yeah, you know, this whole gritty realism of the period.
That's right.
You know, versus when they might have handled some of these movies in Technicolor in the 60s or something like that. Yeah, it gets you in the moment.
Right.
And very much makes this a character drama.
Yeah.
Which it is. I mean, you see scenes here where you've got soldiers... You know, really, you can see their breath. They're breathing hard in anticipation. This is a very tense moment coming up.
Right.
That they're going to be doing this assault. Mm-hmm.
100%. And again, I mean, we see Winters, you know, even in the thick of all this, he's still setting the men up in the right places. He's still giving the right orders. He's calm and collective with the way that he's doing it. You know, he's not bumbling around and mixing up his words and stuff like that. He knows exactly what it is he wants them to do and what needs to get done. And
a big contrast from Sobel.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he is good at commanding troops, and we see that in this scene.
Yeah. You know,
he's able to use those hand signals. He's got that calm demeanor. If anything, he reminds me of being a basketball referee. I mention that because that's something that
traveling?
I'm actually trying to do these days. Well, no, I've been an umpire for Little League for many years, and I've decided this year to learn to become a high school basketball referee.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that I've learned in this process is the use of effective hand signals. There's a lot of signals that you have to know as part of basketball referee mechanics. You know, I mean, yes, there's traveling, you know, where you do your hands like that, you know, but just knowing like when to put your hand up with an open palm versus a fist, and you know, doing the right signal for illegal use of hands and all that. It's very different from baseball in just the intensity of it all. And with baseball, sure, you know, you've got ball, you've got strike, and but no, it's a whole new level as a basketball referee, and it just shows you know, how important hand signals are. And in this scene, yeah, Winters is doing quite a bit of that.
Oh wow. So have you ever seen the movie Forget Paris with Billy Crystal?
I know the film, and I've seen the scenes where he's the
Exactly.
basketball
So
referee
I was
for the
gonna,
NBA.
that's right. I was gonna.
I haven't seen the movie, but yeah, I have seen those scenes, and I watched them recently when I've been going to some of these training things, and it's pretty funny. Yeah, that's getting power hungry with your technical fouls.
That's right.
I even as a baseball referee or an umpire, I mean, I've only had to throw out a coach once. I wonder if I, you know, when I become a referee for basketball, how many technicals I'll actually give.
It's true, but also in baseball, you're standing in the same spot. In basketball, you got to run up and down the court with them.
Yes, I was told going into this that you can sometimes run in every game. You might be running anywhere between like 4 and 7 miles,
Wow.
just running back and forth constantly throughout the game. So some people say that being a basketball referee is a way to get paid for doing exercise.
Okay. You have to have the stamina for it anyway, because it's starting and stopping. It's not a constant
Yeah.
run.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Is it because the basketball and baseball seasons counterbalance each other, so this way you'll have something to do all year
Yeah.
round?
Yeah, that was part of it. Also, I had been doing umpiring for so many years, and a lot of the people that I'd umpired with officiate other sports, and they had mentioned to me that, oh, you should totally try basketball. So I figured I'd give it a shot. I've never actually played too much of it, and I'm a pretty small guy. I'm only about 5'10". I keep myself in
Well,
shape.
you don't have to make the
And
shot.
yes, this is something that
So, yeah.
happens around. No. The most you ever even hold the basketball is to do the opening tip or to
Right.
kind of bounce it to the players when they're out of bounds or doing a foul shot.
Exactly.
But you got to run, and that's something I can thankfully still do.
Good. That's great. And as the men get into position, again, we see all these different things just strewn all around. We see like what looks like a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on in the French countryside?
Yeah, well, they got invaded.
That's true.
And we but ENN, that was several years ago. So I mean, a lot of this stuff is still there, and it's probably old. You know, that car that you see could have been, you know, from 41, 42, and you know, sitting out there in the rain.
And then we see that the Germans are putting more ammunition into their gun, and at that point Winters gives the signal to start shooting, and they just open fire on those two Germans who are shooting back, obviously also, and Winters is shooting at them also, and one of the guys screams, "I can't see nothing."
Yeah, no attack is perfect. Never is.
And then we see that Buck comes out of the brush with his men, and we have the guys laying the covering fire on the other side. And then we see Lip get up into the tree. Donnie Wahlberg sure knows how to climb up trees.
Oh, that's Donnie Wahlberg.
Which it gives him a great bird's eye view of everything. It's done really well there.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd want to do that. Once you get spotted, you don't have too much that you can do.
That's true. And then we see that they shoot off the guns again, and everyone's they know that this is the time that they gotta keep moving in, and someone screams, "Oh shit!" we hear, "Let's go, let's go." And they start shooting back and forth. We have Lip inside the tree shooting at them, and other men that are undercover are also trying to shoot at them, and they're just shooting back and forth between the Germans and Easy Company. And Buck crawls up and gets closer to one of the entrenching areas and sees the guy shooting at them, and then he basically gives a hand signals to some of the men, and tells Garnier that we're gonna basically throw some grenades at them. And it's funny the way that he does it. He puts like two fingers and then five fingers and then a fist. Maybe trying to explain the distance that they need to, or the direction that they need to do it. And they all put down their guns and take out grenades, and the three of them throw grenades at the exact same time, and obviously they land perfectly on their mark. And
Now this probably calls back to the scenes of training. It's been a while since I've seen everything from its entirety, but I seem to recall that there were parts where they had to practice throwing the grenades.
exactly.
And just like baseball. Yeah.
And then
Well, here's a question
yes.
about the hand signals. I don't know if you've passed it or if we were getting to it, but there's a part where they start doing these tense hand signals and you see different numbers. And the numbers I saw was 142250. What do you think that is?
Absolutely no idea. No clue whatsoever. Again, it's probably to in which direction, and maybe like signs of a clock. Maybe one at 4 o'clock and five at 3 o'clock. I don't know. It's a very good question. Again, the hand signals they do pretty quickly, so it's not so simple to be able to figure out what they are if you aren't familiar with the hand signals of what one should be using, I guess.
Yeah. Though interesting, if this were done in the modern military, everybody's got headsets and they don't have to worry about being overheard. They'll just kind of whisper in their microphone, any instructions on the battlefield.
That's true also.
But in lieu of that, yeah, you've got old school hand signals and they work. It kind of reminds me of I remember hearing back in World War I, not on the ground necessarily, but in the air. The pilots had no radio back then to be able to talk to each other, and so they would do hand signals and stuff to tell their fellow pilots, and they didn't even have like a canopy or glass or anything. They're just out there in the open, what to do, whether it's time to attack or to go down, just these big hand signals. So this is just an aspect of warfare that's been around for a long time.
So I did a quick search for military hand signals, and what I found is not helpful enough for what we need. It says through the use of these hand signals, military leaders such as team leaders, squad leaders, and platoon leaders are able to keep command and control over their particular element. All new recruits are taught to use the proper hand and arm signals found in the field manual. However, it is not uncommon for units to adopt and create their own signals. So, there's no way of knowing whether these signals are standard signals or not.
But it does add to the intensity of the scene.
Yes, that it definitely does. And then Buck gets into the trench itself and gets ready to shoot the German soldier there, and his gun jams, and
Oh.
he just screams, "Oh shit!" And then one of the other guys, I think it's Moore, shows up and ends up shooting the German instead of him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
That
sure
that's
that,
a classic movie trope right
yeah,
there,
for
the
sure.
gun jamming and then your fellow saving you. But I'm sure this sort of thing happened all the time in war.
Yes, well, it happens. It can happen even not in war. I was at the gun range last week and my gun jammed. It does happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Always at the inopportune time, of
Yes,
course.
of course, because that paper was coming right at me. The paper target was coming right at me.
You're right. I mean, again, I'm reminded of some of the flight simulators I used to play on the PC a long time ago, and specifically some of the World War I flight simulators. The guns would jam quite a bit. And one game I remember from the early 90s
Meaning
was called
that
Red
was
Baron.
programmed. One thing, it was programmed that they would jam, or jammed because
Yeah.
the
No, that
quality.
was part of the simulation, is
Okay.
that you would fire and then the guns would jam. But in the World War I sim, this Red Baron one, you would press a button on the keyboard, and that would you would basically get a hammer, and you'd be banging at the gun over and over until the jam cleared.
Oh, that's
And
really funny. Wow.
I wonder if that was based on what they did back then to get jams out. Yeah,
I have a feeling that it was. It does sound that
probably.
way.
Ugh.
Wow.
And those World War I guns probably were not the most reliable back then. That probably happened quite a bit.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, if a gun on a World War II plane would have jammed, everything there was pretty much automatic. I don't know how they would clear it. Not during the fight. They must have had something for
On a
that, though,
plane
I
you're
would
talking
think.
about.
Yeah, like on the fighter
I'm trying to
planes.
think. I'm trying to think if I've seen like a movie that someone had a jam and they were able to figure it out how to deal with it. I don't know, because like you said, they can't go out with a hammer, and they don't have R2-D2 in the back
No,
to figure
no
that.
R2-D2.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a problem. And then Winters screams, "Let's go! Let's go! Follow me!" Again, pure leadership by showing that he's running ahead and everyone has to come behind him. Running right into the
Yeah.
field of fire.
Yeah, not afraid to run and be and fight with his men.
That's right. And
I was impressed with the camera motion that they have during this part. You know, they use that the kind of the shaky cam that runs along with the soldiers, you know, through all the mortar fire. Yeah, so it's intense stuff.
That's right.
Some really good television and, you know, a good dramatization of what it may have been like.
For sure. And then Winters jumps into the trench and a few men come behind him. And then Popeye jumps in and he screams, "Oh, fuck! I just got my ass." And then he goes, "Sorry, sir."
Yeah, apologetic.
Very. And they then we see that they're trying to continue with the fight, and they expect Lorraine to be able to do something, and he doesn't do it right, and Garnier screams, "Cheap jockey." And there's a great shot, which I don't know how realistic it is, but I guess it's very possible that it is. Buck, he takes a one of the German potato masher grenades and throws it, and it explodes as it hits the guy.
Oof, it could.
Now, I
Yeah.
mean, it's a known thing that Buck Compton was a baseball player, so it is very possible that that really is what happened.
Yeah, I mean, if the timing were such, sure, it could blow up immediately upon contact.
Yeah. And here,
The
all
interesting
right,
thing I saw
up here.
about one this one scene though of the Jeep jockey who can't shoot, you know, he
Lorraine.
basically keeps firing even after it's done. You know,
That's
he's
right.
in that kind of shocked mode where it becomes automatic and he's not even thinking and nothing is happening. And that probably happened to quite a bit of soldiers out there who just couldn't handle what was going on.
So Buck Compton was an All-American catcher at UCLA,
All right, go Bruins. That's where I
and
went.
he at which goes to show if he was a catcher, he has a great arm to be able to hit its mark. And
Yeah.
he also played football at UCLA in the
Nice.
Rose Bowl
Ah.
on January 1st, 1943, And then when he graduated from OCS, he went to Fort Benning, completed jump school, and he ended up joining E Company in December of 43. And he always said that he felt very envious of everyone who had gone through Tekoa, and he always felt sort of out of it as a new member of the company.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, but a college graduate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he graduated. That I'm not sure about.
Well, hopefully he did.
And then it has a paragraph that talks about this actual scene. It says Compton had been an All-American catcher at the USA baseball team. The distance to the fleeing enemy was about the same as from home plate to second base. Compton threw his grenade on a straight line, no arch, and it hit a German in the head and exploded.
Wow. Guess he was out.
Yeah, that's
Oh,
true. Wow, that's really funny. In the book, it says Wynn kept saying, "I'm sorry, Lieutenant, I goofed it. I goofed." And in the movie, they say, "I fucked up."
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I tend to think it would probably be closer to what was in the movie, but I forget who the author
You think
was
they
of
were?
the book.
You're saying that Stephen Ambrose was trying to? No, they swear in there. They
He
swear
may
in the
have
book.
bowdlerized it.
Maybe. I mean, I do know that. I mean, there's there there, the book is not censored. There is swearing, know, that happened.
Maybe.
But apparently not in that scene.
No.
That there's. It mentions they're swearing in the book. Let's put it that way. But again, it's a great shot, and it's also filmed really well. That how it just hits it, and they're just shooting all the Germans that are just running away, and as we said, Lorraine is trying to shoot and keeps missing. And Garnier then just takes the guy out. Then we continue hearing Popeye crying and screaming. He goes, "I'm sorry, sir. I screwed up." And while they're in the trench, basically Garnier is trying to help him, and Winter sees one of the Germans throw a grenade at them and shoots him, and then he screams, "Grenade!" And the grenade lands on inside the trench, and he screams to Toy. He goes, "Joe, Joe!" And then he says, "Roll on, roll on!" And it explodes, and he screams, "God!" And he goes, "Oh shit!" And it's great because Joe Toy then checks himself. You see that he checks his arms, he checks his crotch,
I mean,
just to
it's
make sure that everything's where it should be.
incredible
And
that they were
that
barely
didn't
wounded
happen.
on that one.
That's right. And then
Ugh.
Garnier goes, "You're one lucky bastard, Joe." And then Winters continues giving orders, and he goes, "Garnier, malarkey, Lorraine, secure that gun. Compton, cover fire." "Yes, sir." And they all start running out to take out the next area of the thing. And then Buck turns to Papa and goes, "Where you hit, Pop?" He goes, "I can't believe I f***ed up." He goes, "My ass, sir." He looks at me, he goes, "Your ass?" He goes, "Oh, sh**." Then someone else goes, "Hey, Popeye, how bad is it?" He goes, "I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to f*** up." He goes, "I don't think it's too bad." And then they reach the point where they try to they start lifting him up, which is an interesting way that they're doing it. And Winters basically wants to help him get out of the line of fire. And he goes, "You think you can make it back yourself?" And he goes, "I think so, sir." So then they lift him up, and they don't even give him his gun, and have him just try and crawl out of there. Then they throw his gun at him to try to take it. And here we go. And he goes, "Drop your weapon, Pop." He goes, "Yeah, come on." one, two, three, and then they throw them over the side and get down, Dick, get down. They go, Pop, Popeye, get down. And as all this chaos is going on, that's where this segment once again ends.
Oh, well, wait, but we forgot to mention the important thing, which is that we finally get to see Dick Winters actually take his first shots and kill some enemy.
Okay, I mean we mentioned it, but
Oh,
we didn't specify that it was
it was
Winter's
him.
taking
I'm
it.
well that that's it it's kind of critical because in a previous scene he was kind of talk we talked about how he was a
He's a
Quaker
Quaker.
and is he a pacifist, but no. Here is his trial by fire, and he shows that he can do it along with the rest.
That's right, where he sees the two Germans setting up
Right.
the gun inside the trench.
Yeah,
And
he takes him
he just opens
down.
up and takes them both down. You're right. Very good point. It's too bad Garnier wasn't there to see it.
He'll probably hear about it. Yeah, but
No, he
yeah,
won't
just
because
oh well.
well, he's Garnier continues complaining about it
Yeah, that's true.
in the next few episodes. So, it's not as if he's completely okay
Yeah.
with the way that this all is, but
But
that's
if we
fine.
needed more proof that Winter's the right for the job and not,
Exactly. It's thank you for pointing that out.
yeah, this is a long battle, and the next guest will have more to say about it.
Real battle took place it took a lot longer than it does in that the way it's depicted here. It's
Sure.
depicted here a total of about 15 minutes,
Yeah,
again.
these things could sometimes
Throughout
take
the battle.
hours, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it was a 3 hour
Oh, yeah.
battle. Is there anything else you wanted to say about this particular segment or
No, I mean, just,
anything about the series in
I
general?
mean, props to the generation that fought this, man. There are very, very few of them left. They're creeping up into their 90s and hundreds now, as of this recording. But man, that generation, those soldiers.
None of the men of Easy Company are still around. They're all dead.
There's yeah, but
They've all
just in
passed.
general, much respect to that generation.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so happy that this miniseries was made when some of them were still around
Right, they
to be
could
able
still
to
interview them.
not only that, but they could also appreciate the fact that that there are people that appreciate what it is that they did.
Yeah. And I think around this time when this was made, this was also close around the time when Saving Private Ryan was made, I think that many Americans were kind of reintroduced to just how important their contribution was during World War II. And the whole idea of saluting and saying thank you for your service kind of happened around this time.
True. All right. Excellent. So today's segment is called Oh Brother,
Oh,
where my guest
brother.
that's right, where my guest will give their top five movie brothers.
Yeah, this one was interesting too. Yeah, you were able to send me a list of ideas here. Most of them I got from that list, but not number five, which I was surprised wasn't on the list. So we'll
Again,
start with that
I
one.
didn't make the list, so I'm
That's okay. This was from Wikipedia that you had sent me the one, films about brothers. So I guess I can edit the Wikipedia entry to put this one in.
There you go.
And it does deserve it because it's twins, Schwarzenegger and DeVito.
Oh, wow.
The most unlikely of twins.
Yes.
Do you remember that film?
Of course I do. I remember seeing it
Yeah.
in the theater.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that one, but I think that was around the time that Schwarzenegger was trying to really get into comedy,
Yeah,
breaking away from his typical.
it was
Yeah,
88.
because there was Kindergarten Cop, there was Twins. I
Kindergarten
don't
Cop was
remember if
what,
there
3 years
was.
later. That was in 91.
Okay. So maybe Twins was the first one that tried that? Yeah. Huh. And it's funny, just recently I watched the Schwarzenegger film Commando. I had never seen it.
Oh, wow.
I just watched it like a couple of weeks ago. And then comparing that type of character with what I remember from Twins is quite different.
Yes,
Yeah, but
John Dietrich is not the same as the character he plays in Twins. Julius.
yes,
Julius, what is his
yes.
name? Yeah.
You could be right. Yeah. Anyway, so that's number five. Number four, Rain Man. You know, Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise. I like that one. That's another one I remember seeing in theaters. I can't remember too much about it now, other than talks about Kmart. And but it was a good performance by both of them, you know, Dustin Hoffman in
Kmart
particular.
sucks. Isn't that what it says?
Yes. Let's see, number three, the Godfather movies, you know, Pacino and you know, his two brothers and the whole family of the Corleones. That was quite a good brother movie in a sense, and we see what happens to all of them throughout the series. Let's see, number two, I would have to say the Super Mario Brothers movie, either the original one from the 80s or the more modern one that I saw with my kids not that long ago. Yes, Mario and Luigi. God, I did watch the one with Bob Hoskins, and it's wonderfully awful. I mean, they spent so much effort trying to really make this wacky world in certain scenes, like when they go into, you know, into the pipe area and stuff. And I don't know. It was a good attempt, but it has nothing to do, I think, really, with anything the video games have. The more recent one certainly does a lot better job with that. And then I would say the last one would have to be the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood. You know, doing all of their shenanigans in Chicago with oh, what was the line from that one? I'm trying to remember. It's like, you know, we've got 101 miles to Chicago. We got half a packet of cigarettes. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it. Yeah. And good music too. I still like the one where oh, what was it? It was not John Belushi, but Dan Aykroyd who sings Rubber Biscuit. I don't know if you know that one. That's when he goes bom 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 bom
Yep.
down. That's
Okay.
great. Anyway, those are my top five.
Okay. That is a great list. Thank you very much. And we will once again play for the final time for you the Name That World War II movie. Let's see what.
Oh,
And
well.
it won't be Jojo Rabbit again. Sorry.
Okay.
It could be one of
All
the
right.
others.
Well.
It could be.
Yeah.
Round and round and
Well,
round the wheel goes.
spin that wheel. All right. De-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-de-
is a movie from 1983 that is technically a remake of a movie from 1942, and it's about an acting troupe that needs to figure out how to get out of the way of the German army that is invading their country.
Oh, I know that one. That is To Be or Not to Be.
That's right.
Mel Brooks.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, I love that movie.
I do too. It's great. Have you seen the original?
I have
The
not,
original's with Jack
not in
Benny,
its
and it's
entirety.
the original's with Jack Benny, and it's also hilarious. And
I think I saw like some of the scenes though, and just to show that it is very similar, at least like, the guy getting up during the middle of
that's right. Excuse me,
of the
pardon
main
me,
act of
excuse
this.
me, pardon me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that one was good. I still talk about chocolate covered nougats even today.
I love the idea that they shave off a beard and put a fake beard on someone.
Oh yeah.
So yes, I you see, and you were worried that you wouldn't be able to get them. Come on.
Well, I mean, I guess the wheel is fortunate today.
Yes.
There's probably a million World War II films that I don't know.
Okay, well, you got three that you knew.
Okay, good.
You can be happy about that, Josh. All right. So, Josh, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Josh Horowitz?
You can find Josh Horowitz in North Hollywood. That's where I live. But if you're looking for my website, you'll have to go to joshhorowitz.com and you can listen to some of my different audio demos, a list of all the podcasts I've done over the years, including many with Rob. I think the last one that I did with you was Die Hard 3.
Yes.
And I also did Die Hard 2, which was great because I had never seen those movies. And so whenever I get to be on these podcasts,
Did you
I'm
ever finish reading
sometimes
the book?
exposed to new
You
stuff.
said you were going to read the book for Die Hard 2. Give me a
I
minute.
did say that, and I still will do that one day. Actually, I think I checked that book out and I was reading some of it, but I never, I don't think I finished it. But I like how you're able to continue doing these movies by minutes things, and getting me to join them. So
Me
I
too.
appreciate that.
Me too.
Thank you.
I appreciate you joining me. Know,
Yeah,
every so often,
but
I like how you say, "Oh, you know what? What the hell? What the hell? How about the
I
hell?"
used to be a lot more into the podcast scene, but now it's mostly cameos now on Rob's. But if you do want to listen to some of the stuff I did a long time ago, you can go to 5minutesoftrouble.com or 5minutesofbonsai.com. Those were the 5 minutes at a time movie minute podcast on Big Trouble in Little China and Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. So go and check those out if you like to.
If you dare.
There.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So Josh, thank you very much for joining me once again and for taking the challenge of discussing such a long miniseries. So I do appreciate
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and thanks for keeping the 5 minutes alive.
that. Yeah. Well, again, I prefer not to do it, but circumstances have not given me much of a choice with this season. I
Well, it's okay. You can always do 1 minute of the Pacific.
don't think
That'll
so.
keep you
I
busy
don't
for a
think so.
while.
No. We'll see what the future holds. But right now, I still
Yeah.
have another 113 episodes to get through of this one. So,
Oh, well, good luck at the
no,
end.
I'm not concerned. It's always fun. That's the important thing.
Nice.
All right, so I will be back tomorrow with another guest, but until then, curry.
Great.